This is Football. I'm Kevin Clark. A classic. A stone-cold classic. Let's go real quick. Rank them. Nostalgia matchups. Packers-Cowboys number one for me. Niners-Cowboys number two. And this would be number three, I think. And I know they're all NFC. There's no AFC there, but I don't know. I'm not old enough to have an AFC thing in my head. Like when I was growing up in the 90s, like the NFC team, wasn't there like when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, hadn't NFC teams before that had won like 17 straight Super Bowls or something? Like that was the dominance. That was the Fox sort of 4:30 window when I was a kid, was just some amazing NFC game that the entire nation watched. So this is nostalgia to me. A little different. Also, like the other nostalgia is NFL primetime music makes you feel like you have to do homework, like you have to Sunday scaries. But anyway, I was just watching SportsCenter, and Trent Williams said something I thought was really funny. He said from the look on that third and one of the McCaffrey touchdown, on that look, he thought they'd get a yard because of what he knew the play was, what the Packers lining up for. He said, okay, we're going to get a new set of downs. And then McCaffrey just went crazy. Scored a touchdown. I think that shows you the value of a guy. And I'm going to get to this in a second about McCaffrey in total, but like it shows you the sort of added value in having a guy like that. And I think we all go through the machinations of like, okay, what matters here? You know, what is he just doing? What's blocked? Like, no, like the look was a yard. He scored the touchdown because he's plus. And when Chris Long was doing his amazing, now viral, context monologue on this show a couple weeks ago, one of the things he said was the Niners would make the Christian McCaffrey trade work. Would the Bucks? Would the Jaguars? Not necessarily. It would be a bad trade for them. But that McCaffrey unlocked so much of what they were able to do. I'd loved this game. I think the mark of a classic is so many different things are going to go sort of untold, like best open field fumble recovery I've ever seen, like unbelievably athletic on that Nixon return. Dre Greenlaw not getting down, looking at one point, he was like upright, like he wanted to lateral. I don't really know where he was going with that. But I want to get into a big question, my big takeaway that I got from a listener. And I think that this is the question of the age. I'm honestly not going to get into it for this team. I'm going to use it as a jumping off point. So it's from Tim. And Tim says, does this Packers game nudge the Bears more toward Caleb Williams or Justin Fields? So it's an awesome question. And there's arguments for both sides. I think like the easiest answer here and the one I'm not going to give is draft Caleb Williams because Jordan Love has established a baseline in that division. And you've got to match it very quickly. So you know what you look like, so you draft Caleb Williams and you try to make up that ground really quickly. But then there's also the Justin Fields route where you almost go, and this is not about Jordan Love, this is about the Niners. Look what the Niners did. The Niners have an offense and a defense with a quarterback who the numbers were good, he was off all night. He was off all night and it didn't matter because the offense is quarterback proof and the team can overcome an inaccurate night. And I think that's what you want to get to. You don't want to get to, we have a great quarterback. No one has ever won a Super Bowl because they drafted a great quarterback. They drafted a great quarterback, and then they figured out what to do with him. That's how you win the Super Bowl. And we've seen failure over and over and over again. Now, by the way, I was really taken aback by all the tweets and stuff. Well, Packers and Texans, future is bright. Like, that's a very dangerous way to look at things. I think we assume too often that everything will progress in a linear fashion, and that's a very dangerous way to look at it. But when I think about what this Niners team has been able to do. And by the way, like the reason this team, the Niners beat the Packers today was this old team versus a young team. A team knew how to execute versus a team that was the youngest in the league and hasn't learned how to win. But we'll get to that. But you look at the way the team is built and even on defense, the spine of the team, linebackers, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw made that huge play at the end, taking things away from the opposing quarterback's middle of the field, between the hashes. Understanding how modern teams want to play and playing the exact mirror opposite and taking away. Like, that's how you win in the NFL now. This was Brock Purdy's second game all season where he averaged less than 7 yards per attempt. By the way, like 7.5 yards over the full season is my threshold for can a team win a Super Bowl. Purdy clears that pretty easily. Is that all him? I can do that in a second. But let's focus here on how they help out Brock Purdy. Part of this is, so first of all, both injuries on both sides. Zach Tom goes out for the Packers. Deebo Samuel goes out for the Niners. So both of them had a significant injury on the offense that I think changed the tone of the game on each side. But McCaffrey, in a too-high league, has gained more than 10 yards via the NFL on 23 carries against two-high shells this year. Six more than any other player. He had a 39-yard rush TD against two-high. Best running back in football out of two running back personnel groupings. Again, something that I think the league is trending towards. This will be, via Chase Stewart, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, Christian McCaffrey will be the first running back since Terrell Davis to win a Super Bowl and lead the NFL in rushing in the same season. This doesn't happen. Emmitt Smith is the only other player to do it. This doesn't happen. A running back being this good on a dominant team does not happen. Yet it works for them. It helps Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy made, I mean, like the last drive, let's sort of parse this real quick. And we can go midweek, and we've got a quarterback coming on the show on Tuesday. I really want to parse everything and give the credit that is due to him and not due to him, whatever, we'll go through it. But he was off all night. The Darnell Savage dropped pick six. Some of the throws, like the punt earlier in the fourth quarter, the throw was just bad. He doesn't like playing in the rain. Thank God Vegas is indoors if they make it. Couldn't get a grip on the ball. And I've not looked up if he has small hands or not, but a lot of times they say that small hands is a grip thing. But it didn't matter because the team was going to lift him and he made the plays he needed to on the final drive. The final drive is all of the ammo the Niners fans need to say Brock Purdy is the future. And that's all Niners fans wanted, is they got the win and they don't have to get off the Brock train. What a great scenario that is. But when I think about what this game would inform a team like the Bears, I think the key is it doesn't matter what you do, because the threshold to compete in this league is so unbelievably high. Just be smart. I know that sounds reductive, but like whatever you're going to do, commit and be really good at it. I think at this point, from what I understand, without a massive overpay from another team, I would draft Caleb Williams. You still have the draft capital. You can still start building. But I think you have to, I mean, you look at the defense in the Niners. Nick Bosa, 6 pressures. Chase Young, 3 pressures. Jerron Hargrave, 3 pressures. Eric Armstead, 2 pressures. All night, over and over and over again, especially in the second half. They were getting at Jordan Love, and he was making mistakes on throws that he made look easy, especially in the first half. Those sort of fadeaway throws, back foot throws. It looked like 3-pointers out there. And they eventually were able to make him uncomfortable. And so I'm not even sure the Bears know how to compete with one of these teams. But I know there's no easy routes. Because even if you take Caleb Williams, you can fail him. The Bears have a long history of failing quarterbacks. And I think it's infrastructure as much as anything. Like, I don't know. I'm not coming away from this saying, oh, they have to stick with Fields. They have to go with Caleb Williams. It's more for me saying, like, there are so many different ways in this league to get really good. And tonight showed you, and really good quickly. Like, Jordan Love. So first of all, like, for the second time in 15 years, not even counting Brett Favre, for they gave up a first-round pick for and anointed the starter immediately. For the second time in 15 years, in a league desperate for quarterbacks, where no one can figure out how to identify or acquire a good quarterback, keeps everybody up awake at night, and people get fired over it. The Packers, for the second time, said, hey, that extra quarterback we got, he's really good. Let's play him. And he's immediately good. Immediately good. Within 5 months. There's a lesson in that. But that's not even enough right now. This was a young team that was making mistakes against a veteran team that was able to support its quarterback. I think this Niners team is going to make the Super Bowl. I think they're going to beat whoever. I think tonight, I know this, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. I love you Lions fans. We loved you up on Friday. Tonight was the NFC Championship game, in my opinion, because of the way these teams were built, because of the depth here, because of the quarterback play, because to me, the only way I think the Jordan Love, if he won tonight, was going to be so hot going into the NFC title game. And I'm talking like this is hypotheticals, because if he closed out that game, he'd be playing better than he was. So in the second half, if he finished strong, wins that game, I think he rolls next week. Brock Purdy, this Niners team, they're figuring out how to win. Kyle Shanahan basically makes the NFC title game every time his quarterback is healthy. And I think that just the way that that team is shaping up right now to win your clunker, as they say in college, is so, so important. So I think they win next week. I think the Niners are going to Las Vegas. So this was a team building win tip for me. That's what this was. And we're going to do, like, I know what we're going to do on Monday. I promise you, I'm going to have to do it. I told you I have to do it. We're going to parse a little blame on here. I'm going to go on TV on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about it, blah, 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 blah. We're going to do Purdy. Is Purdy good enough to win a Super Bowl? How much credit does Purdy deserve? It doesn't matter inside that building. And that's the point. Those sort of debates, there has never been a bigger disconnect between the conversations inside of buildings and outside buildings than a game like that. Because they're not going to bench Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy's awesome. So then why are you trying to figure out his value internally? They're not negotiating his contract right now. So why are you trying to figure out his value internally? Yet externally, that's all anybody cares about. Right now, everybody in San Francisco or Santa Clara, wherever it is, all they're thinking is, we can win a Super Bowl. There's a proof of concept here with Brock Purdy if we do X, Y, and Z. If Debo Samuel's out for a while, they can still win the Super Bowl. That's the important thing. Brock Purdy is a savant at running Kyle Shanahan's offense. Even though he had a bad game tonight against a really athletic young defense, as I said, it was still basically the second worst game of his season. He plays at an incredibly high level. I do not think he's going to have two bad games in a row like this. I do not think, by the way, unless it is in a massive downpour next week, he's going to have trouble gripping the ball. Yes, it's a flaw. He doesn't like throwing in the rain, but everybody has those little flaws. So I believe in this Niners team. I believe in the way they're built. I believe in, like, how many times have we seen it? Tom Brady's last Super Bowl win with the Patriots was a 13-3 game. Completely different than a bunch of the other games, big games he's won in his career. This is a team building thing. When Patrick Mahomes looked at his most vulnerable, it was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was literally the biggest discrepancy in pressures on a team. So Brady versus Mahomes. Brady was pressured the least, and Mahomes is pressured the most out of any game, I believe, on record in the Next Gen Stats era. Sometimes it's just team building and who's around you. And tonight, that's what Brock Purdy had to win for. And, back to the original question, God bless the Bears, because they got a lot of work to do. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's get to the Ravens. So I'm as big a Lamar fan as you can get. Wrote a lot of stories on him. He's been on a couple of my shows. I think he's as special as it gets. I've been watching him since he was in high school. But it was okay. It's okay to process the playoff version of a player differently until they've shown you something. Lamar had not played well in the playoffs. The best quarterback rating he never had was in that awful game, his first one ever against the Chargers, where they threw a bunch of DBs at him. And he was playing different. And I always go back, speaking of the Niners, to Bill Walsh. And he said, there's no such thing really as clutch. It's just operating normally when everybody else starts to press. And there are great, great athletes who have spent a long time pressing. I was just reading about the 1960 U.S. Open in golf, as one does. And they were saying, you know, basically that, you know, Arnold Palmer said Jack Nicklaus didn't know how to win yet. Young guy, didn't know how to win. And then guess what? Jack Nicklaus learned how to win, and he won more than anybody in the history of golf. Still, that's still true. Learning how to win is a skill. And learning how to win in January is a skill. It's different. It's different when defenses are always good. By the way, like C.J. Stroud was the fourth rookie to play a playoff game against number one scoring defense. They've all lost now. They've all lost. Young players, especially early in their career, can struggle. Lamar Jackson is no longer a young player. He has developed so many different parts of his game. But also, back to team building, not everybody gets the help they need to get there. And Lamar Jackson, the defense helps. Mike McDonald, the DC, helps. Todd Monken, the OC, certainly helps. Zay Flowers helps a little bit. Everybody keeps saying, what happened at halftime? Ooh, did he give a little speech at halftime? Did Harbaugh give a little speech at halftime? Did Lamar give a little speech at halftime? Apparently they did. Like John Harbaugh said, he was edgy. Lamar, I guess, was doing some yelling, but they were just a better team than the Texans. First of all, Lamar Jackson, first player in NFL history, in any game, not playoff game, regular season or playoff, to have two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, 100 rushing yards, and 100 passer rating. Never happened before. History of football. Played football for a long-ass time. And I saw a stat that blew my mind, which is that Lamar Jackson is the first quarterback to lead its team in rushing yards and advance beyond the divisional round. It has never happened. And by the way, Jackson's led the Ravens rushing for five straight seasons. That's actually probably a bad sign. They should probably get somebody else who can lead the team in rushing. But that, let's put that aside for a second. He's doing things differently, but the same. He has not lost the essence of Lamar. When he gets out into the open field, he is as hard to predict, to tackle, to decipher than anybody, but he can also sling it down the field. He has been able to answer all of the questions. If I'm someone who's going to play Lamar Jackson, I'm one of the AFC teams playing Sunday. The thing I'm very worried about is the Texans probably had the blueprint and it did not matter. They got worn down because no one has ever blitzed Lamar Jackson more than the Houston Texans did on Saturday. And it didn't matter. Mattered a little tiny bit at the beginning. First of all, the Texans are not even a blitzing team. They changed their identity, which if you listen to the show, you know that coaches have raved about DeMeco Ryan's idea to implement a game plan one week to the next. But they blitzed 75% of the time, and Lamar was awesome against it. 13 of 18, 120 yards, two touchdowns. And by the way, he got rid of the ball more than a second quicker versus the blitz in the second half compared to the first half. You went about halftime speeches. It's this, Lamar, when they're coming, get rid of the ball. Good stuff, buddy. Like, that's better than any speech. And the problem now is that if you look at some of the EPA stats or whatever, that was where he struggled. It was when six guys, five guys, seven guys in some cases would come at you, he would struggle. Don't come at Lamar Jackson with a three-man rush and drop a bunch of guys back. He will punish you. The EPA per play was against 4-3, all positive. Negative when a bunch of guys came. Well, the Texans tried it. Didn't work. Second half, they were making all the right decisions. The Ravens were. And the Texans just seemed like they were out of gas. Lamar, fourth highest success rate of his career. Quick passes. He was nine of nine for 77 yards, 8.6 yards per attempt. This is what I was talking about last week when I said the best part of Lamar now is the quick decisions married with the incredible improvisation. And the worst, to me, the worst habits when Lamar was, you know, kind of with Greg Roman, just maybe hitting some lulls, the worst moments to me were when he was in that medium zone and he was just patting the ball and running back there waiting for something to happen. It's either, first of all, some great design runs today, but quick game plus running when you have to. And I think that's the dangerous combination to me. On the Texan side, they gave it all they could. This was a roster thing. I wouldn't have been surprised if they won because, again, I go back to the thing. Great franchise quarterbacks don't wait. Franchise-changing guys change franchises. Unfortunately, C.J. Stroud ran into a different franchise-changing guy in Lamar Jackson. There's a bunch of guys that that Texans team would have toppled today, a bunch of guys. The Ravens happen to be a buzzsaw. They're good at everything. The pressure rates were just out of control today. They were coming at C.J. Stroud all the time. Madubuike, four pressures, three of which came against Shaq Mason. Ravens had 12 pass rushers generated pressure. Third quickest to the ball in the backfield this season. So this was just a Ravens team that is peaking. And like, again, I'm not going to say they're going to the Super Bowl because Mahomes and Allen, what did Peyton Manning say on the show a couple weeks ago? Like, no one wants to face the Bills because you don't know what you're going to get. That could be true for the next two games. Nobody wants to face Patrick Mahomes because he's Patrick freaking Mahomes. So it's a little more of a toss-up in the AFC. I don't think it's over. But I do know what the most complete team is. If we're awarding something on paper, it's the Baltimore Ravens. I adore this team. I adore the – everything is – the problem – with playing a team like the Ravens is not just Lamar. And again, they're better against good teams than any team in the league. Lamar has his stats about what is it? He has the last three games of a perfect passer rating with a certain threshold have all been him. Like this is what he does at his best. He is more unstoppable than any player in the league. Typically, I'd rank Mahomes ahead of him, but I'm not doing it this year. Nobody at their best is better than Lamar Jackson and the Ravens right now. And this year, the totality of this year, that has been true. And the stats back that up. They don't lose to good teams because they play well against good teams, and then the good teams have to throw their hands up. I did a story a couple of years ago, and I said the linebackers, the Mark Andrews and some of those guys would say the linebackers on the other team would just look over at their sideline and say, what am I supposed to do? And the coach would say, we don't know. We don't know. That's what's happening when Lamar is clicking, and right now is clicking. Now, they can always have the self-destructive game. We've seen it. The Colts game earlier this year, obviously the Titans game 2 years ago, we've seen that. But right now, I don't see any evidence it's going to happen. They're making adjustments. They've got the coaches. All of their flaws are answered. The blitz, which we've talked about as a weakness, was answered today. They're answering every question, which is how you win in January. I love this team.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So let's get to questions.
We're going to start with Keith, who wants to know, with all the advancements in stats, analytics, etc., why are so many otherwise good head coaches still so, so terrible at clock management?
Easy one. First of all, these guys, even though we think they're young, still came up in like 2005, 2006, 2007. Old school football. They were taught by John Gruden, by Mike Shanahan. I'm talking about the Shanahan tree that was so prevalent tonight. John Harbaugh is good at clock management. He's older. It's a case-by-case thing. They don't value it. These are guys who believe in the core tenets of old school football. And they didn't play Madden growing up. I've always joked about this, but my longstanding joke is that coaches stop consuming pop culture when they become coordinators. Like, it happens all the time. Old coaches will say, oh yeah, I love AC/DC. And like, Kyle Shanahan, one of his kids named after Lil Wayne because he became a coordinator in, 2007 or whatever. They stop learning that stuff. And I think a lot of times they stop learning certain things about football philosophy. And that's what's so impressive about a Belichick or an Andy Reid, where they innovate when they're 67 years old and they start understanding spread concepts and air raid and stuff like that that they didn't really get well versed in. I think that's amazing. But it's a mixture of not caring. If they cared, they would change. Being older than we think in football terms. And then maybe more of a closed loop on hiring. Remember, a lot of these guys hire their friends and friends of friends, and there's not a lot of analytics going on within that community. So I'm not saying it's no analytics. I'm just saying these guys, despite being young, despite dressing better than the typical NFL coach, they are still old school guys at heart.
Up next, we're going to hear from Brett. Was that the most meh closing argument for a head coaching job Bobby Slowick could have given?
Yeah, so I was at Kevin Stefanski, who I think we all agree is a good coach. I was at Kevin Stefanski's last game, which I believe was a Vikings-Niners playoff game in Santa Clara. I believe that was the game. And laid an egg, looked like crap. By the way, I met most of the guys, I met Mike McDaniel and all those guys there for the first time because I was standing next to Kirk Cousins, and they all came over, and I was like, wow, the Niners staff loves Kirk Cousins. But Stefanski laid an egg, and everybody was saying, how could you possibly hire Stefanski? to be the Browns coach. He laid an egg in this game. And I went and I looked back, and like McVay's last game was an egg. Like, you cannot. Bobby Slowick runs the ball a lot. He was going against a really good defense. I understand the impulse to say, oh, he didn't get it done on the biggest stage. He worked miracles this year. And I don't think, like, obviously CJ Stroud was going to have his breakout, but he guided a young quarterback. What else do you want if you're an owner? If you're David Tepper and you see what he did with CJ Stroud as the offensive coach with the defensive head coach, don't you say, hey, do that with Bryce Young, please. Let's just give Bryce Young the platform to succeed. I'm not saying he's the hire. I'm just saying I wouldn't look at how he performed against an awesome DC, an awesome, really talented defense, and say this is final. There's some finality here. I don't think so. One game does not a coach make. This was not a meh resume. However, bad owners are the type of guys who are hiring coaches this time of year, and they might overthink it.
Our last question is from Wookie, who asks, why do we have a chain gang in the year of our Lord 2024?
I like the chain gang. So I think the issue, so they have the chips in the balls now. They really do. That's why they have a lot of data on the balls. But they don't use it for marking where the ball is. Not totally sure why that is. They're piloting it. Like, I know they're trying to do it at some point. For me, I don't think the chain is the problem. I think the bad spots are the problem. We saw that earlier on the first close call with the Packers. We saw with Green Bay having a challenge later when Jordan Love didn't go down, even though that would have been hard to do because he wouldn't have figured, they still would have thought he was down, right? That was the actual issue, not the spot of where the ball was. So I think the chains are something that everybody needs, which is it propels the drama. The NFL wants the chains because we bring out the little chains and we stretch them out and we go, oh, yeah, that's exciting. That's always going to stay. The problem is the chips in the balls need to tell you where the actual ball is, and then things will cook from there. So I'm in favor of the chain. Keep the chain, improve the spots with chips in the ball. That's all I ask. That's how you fix everything. All right, we'll be back on Sunday night with a recap of hopefully games as good as this. Then on Wednesday, we'll have the aforementioned quarterback on to break it down. We've never had this person before. I'm very excited. And then normal episodes all week. This has been football. Thank you to Flynn. Thank you to Miles. We'll see you tomorrow.